sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, March 11th. We're back with you. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning.
I see your face is getting better now. It's turning into a tan.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
I woke up this morning and I'm tan now. I'm not burnt.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Some people the burn does not turn into a tan, you know, so you're lucky that way.
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah.
I'm sure you've been in the sun a lot when you were swimming, right?
I never really burned. But the sun in Florida is a lot different to the sun in California.
Really?
Sun in California is very strong.
And right.
I don't know. I guess you can be outside for an hour like I was and burn.
And burn, yeah.
Whereas I would swim at 2 o'clock for 2 hours in an outdoor pool and I wouldn't burn.
Wow. That's amazing. But I definitely recommend sunscreen, you know? I mean, it's like because I know, I have skin that, you know, I can handle sun and stuff. But if I don't put on sunscreen, I burn, you know? And not a good thing. Not good for your skin anyway, you know?
No, I need to wear sunscreen. I do on my face because I've learned, like, to look after, protect my face.
Yeah, gotta protect your face.
Yeah.
It's gonna make you a lot of money. You can't just...
Hopefully.
Yeah, so you can't just let it go, you know. But this is cool. So in a few minutes, we're gonna bring in our guest who is just eager to talk, and she's a lot of fun. So we'll bring you in a couple minutes, and... I just wanted to, there's a few things going on, and I just wanted to bring up just to follow up on the Pistorius trial. I guess now they find out that he once shot a gun out of a car, you know, and so, you know, I mean, this guy does have experience that, you know, with guns and everything,
yeah,
you know,
aggressive.
where he was busted and stuff also. But another revelation is they're saying that his girlfriend had eaten 2 hours before she died, and which contradicts what he was saying. So they're starting to poke some holes in his testimony, and we'll see what happens, you know. But I guess, you know, when the autopsy was discussed and everything, and they explained exactly what parts were hurt and how, and also then he puked, you know, he vomited in the courtroom. So I don't know. I just, you know, I feel bad for him, but I feel he did it, you know. I don't know.
Something weird.
I mean, that he did it, you know, maybe he didn't mean to, but he killed her because I think he was pissed off or something, you know. So, but of course, they would call it murder and everything. I don't know if he pre-planned it or anything, but it can be murder in the second or third degree, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's going to turn out. But, yeah, she was beautiful. He's handsome. I don't know what the hell. But, you see, you never know what happens behind closed doors
with
people.
No, definitely not.
You know? So, yeah, and then as far as the plane that's missing, I guess they identified the two passengers with the fake passports, or the stolen ones, and they're saying they're Iranians. But for some reason, the authorities don't think it had terrorism was not likely. In the disappearance of the airplane. So I don't know what's going on, but...
So they haven't found the plane or...
No, they haven't found the plane. And it's... it makes you wonder, you know, I mean, in this day and age that they're unable to find the remains of a plane.
A huge plane.
Yeah.
How can they not find anything?
I don't know. And especially when they knew the route of the plane and everything, you know, but maybe it changed route. Maybe they flew to a different place. And the ocean is huge, you know. Where are you going to start, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But that's the reality of that. And Yeah, so that's that. Also, a couple of other things I read is if you're enjoying dispensaries in L.A., which supposedly there's over 1,000 of them, medical marijuana dispensaries, you know, you're in for a big surprise because apparently they're closing down a lot of them that are not complying with the law. And because I guess if you started after a certain year or something, then you're illegal. So so there's not going to be a lot of dispensaries, but, you know, I'm sure there's going to be enough still to go around.
There are a lot. Yeah. A lot.
I know. It's like everywhere you drive, there's one or two or three, you know.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, why are there so many?
I know.
Like, are they all in business? Well, yeah, because it's so big enough.
Yeah, they are all in business, you know, but they closed them down. They're trying to discourage landlords from renting out to dispensaries. So they're fighting it in different ways, you know, because people have won the vote in California for this. Mm-hmm. But the authorities, they're not going to let it down, you know, easy. I mean, they're going to, like, really make it hard for people, I think.
Yeah.
And that's just because that's what they do. But at any rate, so there was a couple things also. I just wanted to quickly go over this because this is funny. They're talking about 5 predictions for the web that were way off. You know, I remember when the internet started, it was around 1994, 95 when it started picking up and stuff. It was like no man's land. You know, I mean, it was just like everybody did whatever they wanted. You know, of course, there's no commerce yet, e-commerce or anything like that. So people were naive about it. And everybody was trying to predict, well, how is it going to be? You know, what's it going to be? Some people dismissed it and everything. So, like, first of all, Bill Gates in 2004, I mean, that's 10 years after the internet started, said spam will be gone within 2 years. And we all know that spam is worse than ever right now.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. An ordinary person, I'm sure, gets some. But as a business, you know, with our email address on the website, I get so much spam, I can't even tell you, you know. If I didn't have, like, an anti-spam virus program that catches these, mm-hmm. I'd be spending all day just clearing out my spam.
Seriously, you know. And on my website, I get so many comments that are just...
Really?
I don't even know what they mean. I'm like, what is this? Like, like, no, I'm not going to approve this to, like, so people can see it. Like, I don't even understand it.
So you have room on your website to put comments and stuff, and people put comments?
Yeah, people comment, like, on my blogs and say what they think, if they agree, disagree. But also, I get spam, too.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, what are you going to do? So what is your blog about if people want to check it out and stuff?
It's roadtomakingit.com.
Roadtomakingit.com.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's motivational, inspirational. I have a new blog post coming out in the morning every Wednesday. I release a new one. And it's just ways for you to achieve your dreams, chase whatever you want to do in life mm-hmm. positively and happily and to the best that you can do it.
Sounds good. So you're a motivator too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, you keep surprising me every day. When did you start the blog?
I started it in about October time. That's when I released my website. My website has everything on it. It has my reels, some of the stuff I do for my other job. So it has a lot of, it's like a portfolio kind of website, but also a blog.
Okay, cool. And it's Road to Making It?
Yeah, roadtomakingit.com.
So go out and check it out because I'm sure you have great things to say. I'm going to read it now. I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so another thing is Newsweek in 95 predicted that website will never replace newspapers. Well, that's some news for us, right?
Yeah.
No pun intended, but but still, I mean, yeah, and it's unfortunate. You know, luckily, there's still some newspapers. I mean, I read USA Today and Wall Street Journal, and I like the paper. I don't know, you know, call me weird, but I like reading it in paper. I don't care about the ink smearing on my fingers or anything like that. It doesn't matter. It's the feel of it. You know, you grew up with it and everything. And, you know, I mean, look, the web has its place, too. And I get a lot of my news from the web. But there's stuff in the newspaper that is cool, you know. And unfortunately, they are going away. So I don't know. I mean, I have a Kindle, but I try to read as much paper as I can. Then Robert Metcalf, who's he's a big name in computers, said the internet will explode, and I don't know what it means, yeah, I don't see it exploded.
Yeah, I don't think the internet's going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, they also predicted that the web means the end of Big Brother. Now, we know that's a little different. Now they can spy on us a lot easier.
Yeah.
And then Newsweek again in 95. I mean, they really missed all these predictions. But no one will buy anything over the web, they said. 95.
Wow, that's almost, yeah, they really messed up yeah. these predictions.
I know. So that's why I never read predictions. People don't have any clue. You know, I've been reading some old computer magazines and stuff. It sort of like reminds me of 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And when you read all the predictions there, it's amazing, you know, how much some people, some experts knew and were right, and mm-hmm. some were totally wrong.
Way off.
Yeah, totally way off. So so it's fun to read that, you know, mm-hmm. because it's like you're going back and from the future.
Yeah.
You know.
For sure.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff going on, but our guest is sitting here impatiently, and she's starting to spin on the chair, and I'm afraid we're going to lose her soon. So we're going to bring her in. And we have Sharon Farrell in the studio. What a surprise. Thank you, Sharon.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. It was lots of fun.
Yeah. So this just came up yesterday. You called, you left a message, and you emailed me. It's always better to email me because I just don't have time to return phone calls. I get like about 10, 20 a day, and you just don't. You don't have the time for it.
Oh, the phones don't work as well as they used to either.
No.
I mean, you dial and they say, oh, this number is disconnected or this number's not working. And then you try your cell and you can get the number.
Right, yeah.
So it's like just really weird. I mean, communications is really goofy, but we can count on the internet.
That's true. And
emails.
And you've been around a while. I mean, you've
around the block a million times.
A million times.
Haven't learned a thing.
Yeah. That's the important thing. That's why you keep going, right? So you'll keep learning new things.
Yeah, I just keep pounding my head against the wall.
Yeah. So you've seen the world change quite a bit. I mean, you know, technology advances, things like that. I'm seeing here you're born when 1940.
Yep, I'm 73 years old.
That's the year my mom was born, so it's amazing. Congratulations.
I'll have
to
adopt you.
Okay, sounds good. Well, you're making me feel young now. Thank you.
Well, you're awful cute.
Yeah. Thank you. Wow.
A little toy boy over there.
Thank you. It seems like only older women notice that, though. I don't know. Mm-hmm. At least they're honest about it.
And the young girls all want daddy, so you're in a good spot.
Yeah, but they don't admit it. That's the problem, you know.
Oh, well.
The women are more confident. They can say, hey, I like you, you know. But
of course, we like the younger guys too. It's
exactly,
like everybody wants something they can't have.
Exactly, they want younger. Most people want younger.
Yeah, because you look at a person and it's like as a reflection of yourself. And if it's like, I mean, I'll tell you something. It's like I've broken up kind of with my boyfriend. We just have sex, but we don't live together anymore.
Uh-huh.
And it's like I belong to Match.com and I see these people and it's like, oh my God. God, uh-huh. I mean, like they've got hats on their head. That means they're bald.
Right.
They've got like walrus mustaches and they're all fat and blubbery. And oh my God, it's like.
I know.
And
getting
the other
old
ones
is
are
no
all
fun.
Stupid, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like, you know, life is great and you just have to, I don't know, you just try everything, I guess, until you just keep banging your head against the wall.
That's true. So so even at this point in your life, you're looking for lovers on online dating and things
Well,
like
I
that.
Have, but I'm kind of sticking with this one guy because he's just so great and bad. I mean, it's like twice in the morning and twice at night.
Are you serious?
Yeah, three times in the morning. He's a rabbit.
Yeah, well, obviously you are too if you're going along with it.
I know, well, that's part of my problem.
Well, Well, maybe you can teach us a lesson or two, because I know a lot of people much younger that are not having sex.
You gotta watch a lot of porno films so you know how to do things. Because nobody ever tells you, and the only way you can learn anything is like through porn.
Films. Exactly.
I mean, and it's so funny because I was living in Fiji for 10 years. I retired and I went to Fiji and I built a house on an island, Banga Island, the firewalking island, and porn is against the law.
Really?
So it makes it really interesting. You know, you wanna get some of it. And I met this. I got raped in Fiji during a coup. I got raped 2 times.
Wow.
Once a guy, I just woke up and he was on top of me and he really beat the dickens out of me. And then the second time, I was like going through therapy and stuff with a gal in Suva, which is like a couple miles away from where I was staying on one of the islands. And she was saying, oh, you got to go out. You got to do what you want to do. You got to do this. So I go out jogging, and a guy starts following me, and he drags me into the bushes, and he's a military guy. He's like part of the army. And he has a van shows up, and there's two other guys, and they do a lineup on me.
Wow.
And it's like in Fiji, I didn't know this, and I'd already been living there for 6 or 7 years. I didn't even realize that if a girl goes walking at night, that means that she's interested in like sex.
Right.
And that's what they do.
And rough sex, like being raped and stuff.
And it is rough sex because they got little dicks.
Well, that too.
So they pound, bang, 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 you know.
Yeah, that too. But also the fact that it's obviously they're not making love to you when they rape you. So it's an evil thing.
No, and I always used to think that people kind of deserve that.
Mm.
You know, I always kind of thought, what was she wearing and where was she and how come she was out there? But once you've been through it, it's like you're so scared you're going to die.
Right, right.
And it's like a cop told me afterwards, Sharon, if you knew you weren't going to die, you probably would have had a good time. And at that point, I thought, that's the way men look at things.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially in these places, they're so backward, you know? How long ago was that?
This was in 2006.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I went crazy. I mean, I went on a rampage.
Wow.
And I thought, I'm going to be like a guy. It's not going to bother me. I'm going to overcome this. And I'm going to get up. And I had seen some show on TV, and there was a guy that was a sex addict, and he was saying like he had 200 women in a year or something. And I thought, 200, that's a good number.
Yeah.
And I started just screwing my brains out every night.
Do you think
I'd go out and pick up a guy and I'd bring him home? And
you weren't before, huh?
When I was young, I was young in the 59. I went to Cuba.
Mm.
I did a movie in Cuba with Elaine Stritch and Steve Hill, Gene Lyons, Andy Prine, and it was called Kiss Her Goodbye. And we were at the Havana Hilton Hotel. And Fidel Castro was on the 15th floor, and we were on the 18th floor. And there was one day that I was working, and Steve Hill had to slug me. I was playing this mentally retarded girl who was always getting into trouble with men.
Mm.
And he caught me in a diner, and I was dancing around and acting like a fool because I was mentally retarded. I wasn't all there.
Wow.
And he hauls off and slaps me. Well, he doesn't do he tries to teach me a stage slap. And at the last minute, the cinematographer said it'd be better if you'd use your other hand for the shot. Well, he didn't tell me.
Wow.
So he hit me so hard he knocked me out.
Wow.
So I went back to the hotel, and I woke up finally, and I wanted to go down. I went downstairs because they were all going, all the cast and crew were going out to a great party, and I didn't want to miss out. Everybody had left, and there was a gal who was our interpreter, and she was a Cuban, beautiful Cuban girl, and she says, listen, you know, you don't want to go with your cast and crew. I saw that guy slap you. He was mean. He was laughing afterwards. He was joking about it, and Elaine Stritch was being a bitch, and she was, like, saying nasty things about you, like you should go back to Sioux City, Iowa, and, you know, it's like you're never going to make it. You're going to be eaten up, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. She says, come with me. We'll go upstairs, and we'll we'll go see Fidel Castro, and we'll go to a real party. So I go up there, and Fidel Castro, he sees me, and he says, ah, pobrecita, animalito de Dios. And he embraces me, and I had my high school Spanish. Mm. So, I still couldn't really, you know, speak. But I get, right. You know how you can gesture, and you can really get along very well with people who don't understand what you're talking about.
Right.
You really can. You can just gesture and that
That's
kind of
true,
stuff.
Yeah. I do that with my maid all the time. You know? She doesn't speak a word of English. And sometimes I just open the dictionary and say a word to her.
Or you pretend like you're mopping the floor and you say, Limpier, you know. Anyway, it's like, and he said, I've got to have somebody to protect you. And he said, pick the most handsome man in the room and he will be your guard and da-da-da-da-da. And there was this guy standing in the middle of the room with his hands on his hips. Mm. He looked just like my dad. He had a widow's peak, and I thought he was really kind of cute. And he came towards me. He took my hand, and he kissed the inside of my palm. It was Che Guevara.
Wow.
He took me off that night on a motorcycle. He taught me how to use a machine gun. But when we got back to the hotel, there was a bombing. And he had to run off because I would have done anything he wanted. I was totally in love with him.
Wow.
And so, you know, I mean, I was like 17 at the time, and he was great. And, you know, he was my very, very first love from Sioux City, Iowa.
Wow.
You know, from the frying pan into the fire.
So you're saying at 17 you were already an actress, right?
Yeah, I had gone to New York City. I had practically hitchhiked there.
From Sioux City?
Well, I studied ballet in Sioux City, Iowa.
Right. Is that where you were born?
I was born in Sioux City, Iowa, and I was born to really, really poor people. And, I mean, I went to my grandma's house, and she had tin can lids on her house, and it was a shack. And my grandpa used to get drunk on the weekends, and he would, like, come home and decorate. And he was, like, he'd spray paint, and he had tin can lids all over the... Wow. Yeah, it was the siding of the house.
Right.
But they were fun.
Yeah.
You know, and I spent a lot of time there, and I, you know, it's like I have a garden in Topanga, and I grow vegetables and stuff, and it's because of my grandma.
Mm.
You know, because she was, I mean, she dragged me to Ku Klux Klan meetings, and she was like kind of out of her mind, you know. I mean, I came from Sioux City, Iowa. I came from the Midwest, so.
Right.
You know.
So you took up dancing? Is that what you're
took
saying?
Up ballet because my dad had gone... My dad, my aunt, I had an aunt that ran off. She ran off and when she was like 15 years old. And she went to Chicago and she met this gangster there named Dick Mahoney. Uh-huh. And he was running from the mob and he came to Sioux City, Iowa. Sioux City at that time was called Little Chicago. Because all these gangsters, if they were on the run, they would go there. My dad had just come back from the army and he was like, he was screwed up.
Wow.
He was really screwed up.
Yeah. They do screw you up in the army.
Oh, I mean, he did things like he wanted to get there was a goat that we had and he wanted to have a goat fur to be able to like lay it down, but he didn't want any cuts on it or anything. So he opened the goat's mouth and he stuck a
Okay, do we need to know that?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't need to know that. I don't want to picture that.
Okay.
So did you become good at ballet and stuff?
Yeah, I did. I got a scholarship, and my teacher took me to Chicago, and I danced with American Ballet Theater Company when I was really, really young in Denver, Colorado. And then I was having an affair with this choreographer, and he got me to New York City.
Wait a minute. How old were you at the time?
I guess...
15 or something?
No, I was about 16 or something like that.
16, and you went with this director?
Well, there was a choreographer that was teaching at the American Ballet Theater in Denver, Colorado.
And, right.
You know, back in those days, you know, nobody talked about pedophiles. Nobody talked about raping or anything. If a girl said no, that meant yes.
I see. Okay. So if you were 16.
It's a different time.
You were 16. The guy's 30. Nobody cares.
Well, they did, but I didn't tell on him.
Mm.
Because I didn't, you know, it's like, he didn't really do anything. He just like got me undressed and people came in and they saw me nude and they saw him standing there and one thing led to another. But he really, I don't think he touched me.
Right.
To my recollection. But, you know, I don't remember a lot of things because in 1970 I had an embolism when I was having my baby. And my heart stopped for 5 minutes, so I kind of lost touch with everything for 3 years.
Are you serious? For how long?
5 minutes.
Five minutes.
I had one of those out-of-body experiences,
really?
You know, that
Why?
Everybody has, you know.
Yeah.
And I had just finished The Reavers with Steve McQueen, and it was, you know, it was a novel by William Faulkner, who had won the Pulitzer Prize for it.
Right.
And Irving and Harriet Ravitch had done the screenplay, and it was just brilliant. And Steve McQueen was just great in it. And he, at the time, he was the highest paid star in the world.
Yeah.
And he was the biggest star in the world.
Right.
And I had done this big movie, and then I had this baby, and I didn't know what, I couldn't read, write, walk, or talk for about 3 years.
Wow.
And Steve helped me. He taught me how to drive. I wanted to be a nurse. I didn't want to be an actress. And he convinced me to be an actress again. And I had a friend named Joan Hackett who passed away. And she would come and sit on a set. He got me a job with Steve Spielberg on a television show. Mm. It was like a Name of the Game at the time with... she came and sat in the set and spoon-fed me my lines. But I was playing a robot, so it was like, all right.
Oh, well.
I was playing some sex object in the future, and Gene Barry was the star. And
you must have been born under a sex sign or something, right?
A Scorpio.
A Scorpio. Is that a sex sign?
Capricorn and Scorpio. Yeah. Capricorn is my you know, the sign I was born under, but my moon is in Scorpio.
Wow.
And then I've got Taurus, which is like all conflicting, which makes me very stubborn. So I just don't ever give up.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm a Taurus, too. You know?
Really?
Yeah, I'm a Taurus.
Oh, my gosh. You are going to be my toy boy.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Capricorns and
Taurus. Yeah, go ahead. Make me one.
Capricorns and Tauruses are supposed to be like really good together. But I've never
been.
You're a Capricorn? Yeah. Oh, my God. No wonder you guys work so well together.
Yeah, I guess.
No wonder.
Yeah.
You're a...
Yeah, January 16th.
Oh, my gosh. It's a great sign.
Yeah.
It's a great sign.
Sign. But you obviously...
But I don't believe in any of that stuff anyway.
Yeah, no, it's
I believe in it just a little bit of everything like Marilyn Monroe. Like
right.
A little bit of everything.
So were you always sexual from a young age? I mean,
no,
did you recognize that in yourself?
No, I mean, I graduated high. I was pretty smart before I had all my brain damage. And, you know, because when you go out for 5 minutes, you do lose a lot.
Mm.
You know, you do.
You feel it affected you for good?
Well, no, because, like, smells started. I mean, after I was going through all that, I went through all kinds of therapies. You know, like I was hypnotized. I did regression therapy. I did all of these kind of. You know, I went to spiritual advisors. I was on the on shows where they would like regress me, past life regressions,
really?
And all this kind of stuff. And I was like desperate to find out where those 29 years went. I mean, I was just desperate. And I went to a psychiatrist that I was going to. I found out I was going to a psychiatrist, and I went to him. He said, "Honey, forget about it. You don't want to know.
Wow.
You know, you were a sick little cookie. You know, just go on from here. Forget about it. Go on. Live now."
Right.
And of course, you know, with
what's so that's
going
what you're
on.
Doing.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
You became promiscuous or something, or what?
Well, no, I didn't. My first man was Che Guevara, and I was like, I think I was 18 or 19 at the time.
Right.
And then I came back to New York, and then I was with this fellow that I worked with in Kiss Her Goodbye, Andy Prine. I was with him. I married him for 10 days. Then we got a divorce because I was going to be doing a movie and he was going to do a TV series. And I think Earl Holliman talked him into like, you know, making sure that I was sort of out of the picture. Plus, I was dating Vince Edwards and Dean Stockwell at the time.
Mm. We don't know any of these people, but I imagine they were
famous at
the time.
You don't know who Dean Stockwell is?
No, I don't.
He did
Boy
with the Green Hair. He's like a classic.
Dean Stockwell was in that time travel show,
right? Yeah, he was in time travel. He did.
What was it called?
He used to play great gangsters. He was in a movie with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Okay, yeah, so I know him, but nobody else that you mentioned, you know.
Who did I mention?
I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
I don't remember what I mentioned.
So with
Vince Edwards, he was Ben Casey.
Oh.
There were two TV shows. It was with Dr. Kildare and Ben Casey, and they were the biggest shows on the air.
Wow.
And, you know.
Never heard of them, man. And
that's because you're just a toy boy.
I guess I am, yeah. So what does that make her if she's younger than I am? Well, I mean, I can't possibly be a boy toy.
You're her daddy, probably.
No, not in relation to her.
Uncle Sam.
What I'm saying is if I'm young, then, what about her? She's very young, you know.
How old are you?
23.
And you're how old are you? I'm 53.
You're 53,
23. Right.
Yeah, that's 30-year difference.
30 years. Yeah, but, you know, you're both alive. Yeah. You don't know who's going to die tomorrow.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
You know who's going to die first. You just don't know.
But she's richer because she's got more time left.
No,
right?
You don't know.
No. Well,
no,
you know, from
you
what
don't
we
know.
Know
you
from
don't
what
know.
We know.
You, well, no,
we
assume. You don't know. You really don't
Look,
know.
At
I
this
mean,
point,
I like all my friends are like dead.
Wow.
I mean, they just keel over, and some of the young ones do. It's like, you know, they're here today, gone tomorrow. I mean, I was doing The Love Machine with this actor, and he was leaning against his motorcycle and he tripped and fell and died.
Wow.
You know, and it's like he was a big hunky actor at the time. And then John Philip Law took over and he did the movie.
Wow. But so how did you become an actress? How did that happen?
Well, I was doing a play up in Denver, Colorado, in Central City. And I was hired as a dancer because I was really expressive and everything. I wasn't a strong ballet dancer, but I was really expressive. And they started cutting my dancing and they added words. And I had to join Equity and I got paid more money.
Wow.
So that was great.
Yeah, so you decided this is what you're going to do.
Yeah, because dancers, they get the fuzzy end of the lollipop.
Really?
Dancers, everything's blamed on dancers. If there's garbage on the floor, if there's candy wrappers, they blame the dancers. They don't blame the singers.
Really?
They don't blame the actors. And there's an echelon. It's a system. It's like, you know, the dancers on the lowest pole, I mean, they just get no recognition. And they work the hardest.
Yeah.
And then the singers are on the next level up. And then there's the actors, you know, that, you know, like a bunch of monkeys who memorize lines and hit their marks and show up on time.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say that because actors are, but I don't know. I think almost anybody could act.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think
sometimes you get a person.
Could.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of the actors that are big stars are awful, and you know you just never know. You know, you just don't.
I mean,
know.
Yeah, you have to be
a
like
lot of
somebody
luck.
Else. You know,
luck,
not
luck
everybody can
and timing
do that.
And everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
crazy.
Not everybody can be somebody else, you know. That's why I don't know if I'd be a good actor because
well,
I'm great
be
at being myself. But yeah,
you could play a gangster.
Whatever. Whatever. I'm sure I could if I really wanted to.
A toy boy gangster. he's got kind of steel gray hair, but he's got a lot of it.
I do. And I don't know what to do about it. I mean, people are saying if you diet, it's going to look like shit, you know, and I'm thinking.
Oh, no, yeah. It's sexy the way it is.
Yeah, but makes you look old, too.
Oh, no, I don't. Because you can tell when a guy dyes his hair.
Yeah, that's
true. Oh, we can all tell. We lie. We say, oh, you look wonderful, but we can all tell.
It just looks like shoe polish on their hair or something.
Oh, it's terrible.
I know, that reddish color that looks like crap.
Yeah, that stuff you brush. Yeah.
I know.
It's awful. Yeah. No, you stay the way you are.
Okay, thank you. I will.
You know, and when your eyes get baggy, just get your eyes fixed.
Yeah, I guess. I guess
you
I
know,
will.
Just because as you get older, your skin grows. And it's like, I don't know. I see actors that like are, you know, not taking care of themselves, you know, and it's like Tommy Lee Jones. I mean, I don't even listen to what he's saying. I'm counting the bags under his eyes.
Wow.
You know, it's like sometimes it's distracting. And I think you should kind of look like how you look, but just age gracefully and just get a little nip and tuck now and then, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know
because your skin grows.
Yeah, that's true.
And you get all jelly under here, you know.
Yeah, like, everything grows when you get older. Are you kidding me? Now, did you have a hard time aging? I mean, at a certain point, probably middle age or something.
Well,
is when people
got a facelift. I think I did I think I did it about 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well,
and my mom is like a beautiful, beautiful woman. And I look just like her. And she's like 93 now. And she has all kinds of boyfriends. Let's see. She's a sexy.
Really?
She's a sexy woman.
Oh, my God.
She has boyfriends. She's 93. She drives all over the place. She goes over curbs. She goes through lights. She's got them convinced she can see when she can't. She's just got it all memorized.
Wow.
She's a character and a half. And she's a doll now. But whoa, when I was little, she had that. She had a razor strap, and she used to beat the dickens out of us.
Really?
Oh, wow. Until we had welts all over our legs, you know?
Wow. Those were the times,
but that's what people did. They used to beat the dickens out of their kids, and ballet teachers would come behind you and whack you on your with a big stick. And, you know, you study karate, they come by and whack you. You know, it's supposed to just wake you up, but sometimes they do damage, you know?
Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
I've got a son, but I almost died when I had him because when I was having my baby, I had an old appendicitis operation and the adhesions built up, and there wasn't enough room for the baby and my adhesions. So they did an exploratory. I was in Oak Brook, Illinois, and I was with this guy who was playing polo. We were staying at Michael Butler's complex there, and they rushed me to the hospital. They cleaned out the adhesions, and then they sewed me up again. And 10 hours afterwards, my son decides to be born, and all those, you know, the exploratory, which is like right under my chest all the way down to my, you know, all the
abdomen.
Way down.
Okay.
Well, yeah, right. Okay. A blood clot got loose from, you know, the stitching, lodged in my lung, and my lung collapsed. My heart stopped for 5 minutes.
Wow.
But I've got a son, and he's in his 40s, and he's he used to be an actor. And I still get really mad at him because he's one of those people that if he cried, it would come here and it'd flip and flop out. Mm. When I cry, my nose runs first, you know, it's like gross. And it's like, he did Harry and the Hendersons. He was on that TV series, and he was on General Hospital. And then he just walked away because he couldn't handle, you know, because it's worse for guys because the casting directors come on to him. You know, it's like sexual harassment is alive and well in Hollywood.
You mean gay ones?
Oh,
really?
Yes.
Really?
More
wow.
Guys have more problems than the girls do nowadays with the casting directors.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. It's
hard to believe.
Oh, God. Sexual harassment has not stopped.
Wow.
I mean, I'm 73 and I get groped when I go in for meetings.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's gross.
It is
really
gross.
Is. You want to haul off and smack them.
Yeah.
I did that one time, and the guy, like, he said he was going to blackball me, and my manager, agent, producer friend said, you better send him some flowers. You better. So I had to send him flowers and beg forgiveness and all
serious?
This kind of stuff.
Oh,
and this guy was like a jerk.
Wow.
But he was like threatening to blackball me. I mean, you know, you can't win.
Yeah.
You just can't win.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You gotta, like, I don't know, what kind of works is like being very, very religious, or if you say you're married.
Yeah.
You know, you're so good looking, and I would do anything, you know, for this part. But, you know, I'm married, and I'm very, very religious, you know, and I go to mass every morning. You know, that gets them.
Yeah.
That gets them.
Yeah, he'll move on to the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they say, and that's what they do. Do you have any girlfriends?
Wow.
What can you do for me? Will you bring me
a hot pastrami
sandwich?
So they're not even subtle
sandwich?
About it, right?
No, they're not subtle one bit.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, I could never do that, man. I mean, you got to respect people. You know, what is that?
I know, it's awful.
But it's that power trip, I guess, you know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So you've done a lot of movies and television, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've done 100 movies, and I've done Gunsmokes and Wagon Trains and...
Yeah, everything. I see you were in Death Valley Days, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., the Beverly Hillbillies, Hawaii 5-0.
I turned down Beverly Hillbillies. They wanted
really?
Me for that girl's part. But you know something? She doesn't get any residuals for any of those shows.
Oh, my God.
There was a time where nobody got any residuals.
Yeah.
Wow. You know?
Yeah.
I turned down my three sons, too.
Really?
Yeah, because I wanted to be a movie star.
Yeah. So so what happened in the films? Did you get... So you got that...
I did The Reavers with Steve McQueen. I
Kiss
was really,
goodbye.
Really hot. I was Golden Globe. They picked me for the Personality of the Year. And I was very, very hot, but I couldn't really work, you know. And finally, after 3 years, after, you know, I started working because of Joan Hackett. She would come. Joan Hackett, you don't know who she is either, do you?
No.
Gosh, you don't know anybody.
We're young people.
I know, you little babies. Anyway, she was a wonderful, wonderful actress. And she was like, I just adored her. And she was, she died when she was really young, like 50 or something.
Wow.
And I even went to Switzerland with her and got those cellular injections by Professor Nihans, you know, mm-hmm. where they take the fetus of the unborn lamb and they chop it all up and then they inject it with you.
Wow. Yeah. So. You're just full of lovely visualizations, you know?
I know. You're about ready to throw up.
I know. I'm not good with these things. I hate hospitals.
He's a pussy. You got to toughen this guy up.
There you go, you see. If only I'd gone to the military in Israel. You know, I left before that. So.
Oh, my God.
But that toughens you up when you go there.
Are you Israeli?
Yeah, I'm Israeli.
And you didn't serve?
No, because I left when I was 16. Oh. And you usually go when you're 18.
You didn't
go back.
And
once I was here, no, once I was here,
you're
I didn't
a lover, you're not a fighter.
Exactly.
Right? Maybe you've got a little Italian blood in you.
Well, me, who knows?
But, you look but a little Italian.
It does toughen you up, though, when you go to the military.
Oh, it's
and
good
stuff.
For
yeah.
you. I mean, it's not good, I guess, to kill people and stuff. But
no, but of course or, not. But no,
but
it's,
all that,
it's the
you know, all that
and
discipline
yeah.
and that camaraderie that guys have and everything.
Right.
Yeah, even the gals serve too.
Yeah.
So it makes everybody really strong. And I'll tell you something. You meet an Israeli here. Mm. I one time met a guy on an airplane, and he was Israeli, and we did one of those mile high things, and he had no
she's done everything.
He had no respect for the Jewish people in this country. He
really?
Just he thought they were just. He just wow. nothing. He didn't think any of them were men. He looked down on all of them.
Wow.
I mean, he acted like he liked them, but he Israelis yeah, don't have any respect for the Jewish man in America.
They don't have respect for anybody. Let's put it that way.
Oh, we haven't met that many yet. So let's not do that.
Well, I've met a lot
nation.
Of them, so I can say.
Okay, but, well, and you're but, Jewish, so you can get away with
exactly,
it.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But everybody, we're talking to Sharon Farrell, big actress, and her website is SharonFarrell.com. And there's pictures. I mean, you were with Doug McClure and Bo Hopkins, and my God, who haven't? Burt Reynolds. I mean, you've met all the leading men in Hollywood.
Well, the older ones.
The older ones.
But you know something?
But,
I'm getting
but
ready
they weren't
to do
older
a movie.
When you were...
I'm getting ready to do a movie.
Yeah,
now.
Let's talk about that because we only have a few minutes, and I want to talk about your book too.
First it was Nana Goes Bananas, and I play this grandma who has to go to her husband's memorial service, and she's been to the funeral, and she doesn't want to go in. She doesn't want to talk to her family. She doesn't want to talk to friends. She doesn't want to hear any more of it. She kidnaps her granddaughter. She's at the car, and she says, get in the car. We're taking off. We're going to go celebrate your 21st birthday. And I drag her to a bar, and I proceed to get drunker than a skunk. Mm-hmm. And then I show her the house that I purchased for my husband, you know, because we've been married for 50 years. And the stupid guy dies on me, and I'm angry with him, but yet I still love him. I'm just a big mess. Plus, I'm drinking, and I think I'm a recovering alcoholic and bipolar on top of that.
Right.
And she ends up, like, running away with my granddaughter's boyfriend.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm still playing those kind of... And I have a topless scene. And God, I mean,
scene like, in the new movie?
In the new movie I'm
well,
doing.
Well, I got to go see it. I mean, now I've got to go see it. Are you kidding me?
I know it's like I'm kind of nervous about it, but then I'm thinking I'm a grandma. I can be fat, dumpy, and if my tits, you know, one's bigger than the other, who gives a damn? You know, I'm just gonna have a good time with these puppies. You
there
know,
there you go. Of course,
who cares?
Exactly. Now, you came out with a book. When did you release the book?
The book was, I've been bringing it down. I've been putting it up and bringing it down. I just, at the beginning of the year, I think I got it up in the beginning of the year. And then finally, I was looking for a press agent, and then I found a press agent, and then the press agent just stole my money, and he didn't release it. But see, I'm like self-publishing, so it's like, you know, it's like you don't have the production, exactly. You don't have the protection of a publishing company. But the publishing companies all said, well, it's too religious. And it's too sexy. You got to do one or the other.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
And I couldn't do that because I was always looking. I've always been looking for God. Well, everybody's always looking for God, aren't we?
I guess we are.
Sure, we are.
And looking for guys too, right? So guys, you look for God and guys.
Guys, yeah. And God. Oh.
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
I'm trying to be a good girl.
Yeah.
And I've been good.
Are you successful?
I've been with this one guy, this one man, for 4 years now.
No, nice. And, congratulations.
You know,
but no more marriages, right, for you?
I don't know, because it's like I said that I was married to this one man for like 30 years. He was my manager, director. Yeah.
That's Dale?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he just ran off with every penny I had. I had accumulated over like years, like maybe $10 million.
Are you serious?
He absconded with just everything.
Wow.
But I put it all in property, but he got his name on most of it. So, and then he put it in the trust. And so I just have to outlive him. Because I've gone to attorneys, and attorneys want so much money. I mean, I went to the Screen Actor Guild attorney, and they want $250 an hour. And it's like to just go through every. It's he said, she said.
Yeah.
And I was with him for 30 years. You know, it's like,
true.
How can you? It's like you're. I was never married, but I was married.
Yeah.
You know, but you're not, but you are.
Right.
So, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's like,
so so the book is Sharon Farrell, Hollywood Princess from Sioux City, Iowa. And so the book pretty much is what, like a biography?
Yeah. When I got back here from the Fiji Islands, I was really ill. I collapsed in New Zealand, and I had gone to New Zealand because I had started to bleed. And I went to New Zealand, found out that I was just under too much stress because I was running from island to island to get away from this guy because he was like trying to kill me, and I was getting raped right and left. And I got back here. I went to the motion picture hospital, and they wouldn't help me because I was 65, but I didn't have Medicare. They knew who I was, but you know, it's all bureaucracy. You got to like have the right stuff and everything. And I met a gal named Mickey Mills at Screen Actors Guild Producers and Welfare. And she went to Social Security, and she got me getting my Social Security because this guy was taking all my money. He was taking everything.
Really?
And she really helped me. And the Motion Picture Hospital is now helping me. But I ended up in the nut house. I was in the nut house because I had jumped off a ledge, and I had landed in a gopher hole, and I hurt my knee. And I went to West Hills Hospital, and they gave me Dilaudid, which I'm allergic to, and I started hallucinating, and they put me in a straitjacket, and, you know, I ended up in a nut house. And when I went over to, and it was right here on Encino, in Encino, there's like a hospital there, and I had bed sores when I went in, and they just use you as a guinea pig, giving you. They said, "Oh, the psychiatrist came in, and he says, well, you're bipolar, so you need medication." So they tried all these different things on me all the time, and I couldn't get out of there.
Wow!
And people called, and they said I wasn't there. And at that point, I started getting really mad, and I started writing the book. I was so pissed off. How could anybody treat anybody like
right.
this?
Right. So how did you finally get out of there?
Well, I talked to my son, and I was being abused by the nurses. There were male nurses there, and they'd give you a bath every 3 days.
Wow.
And they would slip their fingers in the wrong place.
Are you serious?
Oh, and they would they'd nudge you with their thing. He was buying me panties. He wanted me to run off with him to Las Vegas on the bus to go gambling. And he was like threatening me, and I couldn't get fed, I couldn't get water. And my son finally got to me. He said, "Mom, you're an actress." He says, until he takes his thing out and sticks it in your mouth, he said, "Just go along with everything. Get out of there. Go do what you have to do to get out."
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
So you just ran away, kind of a thing?
No, I started there. I was with this gal in there. Her name was Lily. And she was like a total nut. I mean, she defecated all over the place. And every night she tried to crawl in bed with me. And everybody at night in this nut house would go crazy. The men would come in and they'd think that I was like their old wife, Mary. And they'd try to get in bed. And they were all urine soaked and everything. Mary, Mary, let's run away from here. And then I had this Lily who would be over me in the middle of the night, you know, and she had gone into the she had made her way into the bathroom, and it was just a big mess. I mean, it was just you don't know what goes on in there. But she taught me to like hide my pills and not take these medications that they were forcing on me. And they gave you medications, these bipolar medications. I mean, I was taking something that was meant for people that had
psychosis and stuff.
Yeah, like really bad things. And it's like you couldn't you'd lose control of your arms and your legs. You'd reach for a bottle and it'd fall on the floor. Yeah. I mean, it was just awful.
Amazing. Well, you're full of stories and stuff. We'll have to have you come back because we haven't even scratched the surface. But tell people how they can get your book.
Well, it's on Amazon.com, mm-hmm. and you just look up Sharon Farrell Actress.
Okay.
And, you know, it'll Google up, and there's my website there, and my book there, and all that kinds of stuff.
Yeah, if you just Google her name, you'll find everything.
Yeah, I just say Sharon
Wikipedia.
Farrell.
Exactly.
And then you Google it, and all kinds
of stuff comes Google
up.
Knows you very well.
And I'm on Facebook. Just friend me on Facebook. I friend everybody.
We'll do that. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us, Sharon.
Thank you. That was fun.
A lot of fun. And when you come back from San Diego, maybe we'll have you come back in and tell us more.
That would be great.
We only covered a few years in your life, it seems, and you have a lot of stories and a lot of memories.
Well, I'm so old.
Well, aren't we all? Anyway, thank you
all. Well, maybe old souls.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm having trouble dealing with aging, too. So,
listen. Yeah. Don't just stop because you are alive.
That's true. And on that note,
you're kicking. And you know, there are a lot of people that are a lot younger that don't have the facilities that you have.
That's true.
They don't look
so
as good as you do.
So I just got to look at.
You got to look at. You got to look at the class.
What you have.
Yes, you got to be thankful. You got to say, gosh darn it, God, show me how great I am.
Amen to that.
I want to know how wonderful I am every
Amen.
Day.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let me see how wonderful the world is every day.
Okay, Sharon.
Gosh,
we got to go,
God,
Sharon. We got to go. Thanks, everybody, for listening. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.